So our passage today is Ephesians chapter 5, 11 to 17. Ephesians 5, 11 to 17, and over to Julie.
Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is.
Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity that we have to spend now with your word. And we invite you by your spirit, by your power, to speak into our lives. Father, we even dare to pray that as we read these words, that it might be a light into our hearts and into our thinking, that we would see your heart and that we would know where we need to change and where we can be more like you and be people that reflect you. Speak to us as we read your word together, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, a couple of other verses for you. John chapter 8 verse 12 says this: when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." That's John chapter 8 verse 12. And the verses that go around the phrase that you often hear, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." These are the other words around that. Second reading is John chapter 1, and this is verses 1 to 5. It says this right back at the beginning, the creation of everything. It says, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." It reminds us that even light we have as part of creation. When God created the world, there had been a black void, and amongst everything that he created in the beginning, he said, "Let there be light." So, over to the homework you've been doing. What positive feelings and emotions come to you when you are in the dark but see light coming into reach? Okay, you're in the tunnel. You've seen some light. Go for it.
Don't get my homework.
We said hope.
Hope. Good. Yes. Any others?
Faith. I have the faith, believing.
Okay. So hope, faith.
Rising.
Okay. Good. Relief. Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say relief, because when I was on a night shift, when you saw the sunrise, you're thinking, "Oh, nearly time to go home."
Excited.
Go to bed.
Excited. Yes.
That's called the way out,
actually. So, most of us have been in tunnels at some point that sometimes go longer than you think they're going to. So when you finally spot the light at the end, like there's, I've forgotten the name of the tunnel on the Bridgewater Canal, I think it is, that's quite a long one and it has a bend in the middle.
Oh,
okay. So until you've gone round the bend, you've got no hope of seeing the end. And there's another one that even has a door on it, because they make the air flow through the tunnel with a big fan. And without the air flowing, then they get fumes and so on inside. So they must try and make the air flow. But to do that, they actually stick a door on the tunnel. So until you get towards the end of the tunnel, there's a door that blocks the light. So you're in the tunnel without seeing the light at the end. When you see the light at the end of the tunnel, relief, hope, that rising feeling, all of those positive things tend to come to us at that point. So that would make us a nice, sweet, happy sermon, wouldn't it? We've got hope as Christians, we do. We know that there's a way that we can be out of darkness. We know there's all those comforting things. But let's also see that there's another possible fear that comes in. Okay, so the second question, what facts or emotions could stop someone from wanting to go into the light? Any answers on that one?
False teaching.
False teaching, okay.
Fear of being blinded.
You get too so used to the dark, it's kind of overwhelming, isn't it, when you go into the light?
Fear of change.
Fear of change. You get comfortable in the dark.
Loneliness.
Loneliness.
There's nowhere to hide.
Yeah. Okay.
Fear.
So you. Fear. Yep. I'll come back to that one. Nowhere to hide. John is saying.
Fear of seeing what's been in the dark with you.
Yeah. Fear of what's been in the dark with you. Yep. Yeah, seeing your own face again. At the back.
Yeah, mine was the same as John's, exposure. Yeah, frightened of the exposure.
Yes. Okay.
It's comfortable being hidden.
It's comfortable hidden. Relief.
Delay.
Okay. Right. So, I say these to get you thinking, and we've not exhausted it, so you can keep thinking about those. And think about them also at the end of the message in terms of how you relate to what these verses speak to you. But let's think of, say, somebody in Ukraine at the moment who's in a combat situation. They might be seeking a dark place where they are trying to hide. And when it all goes quiet, they can see the light, they have the hope, but they're a bit scared of what they find when they go out there. Or they're scared as to who's ruling when they go out there. Or they're scared about whether somebody's waiting to shoot them as soon as they have come out of the hidden place and appear in the light. Maybe they'd run away from the combat. They weren't ready for some of the fighting and they've hidden themselves. And when they come out, they're scared of what other people are going to think of them when they come into the light. Everybody around. So it can get complicated. Going from darkness to light, we want to be hope, we want it to be relief, but sometimes there's fears that make us scared about moving from one to the other. So we're going through Ephesians, and as we've gone through Ephesians, I think the themes keep coming around again and again, because the theme that I've tried to bring to you is that sense Paul isn't with them now. He's away. He wants to see them growing as Christians. He wants to see them able to stand on their own feet, not just to survive in their own faith, but to be the church in the city where they are. So he keeps reminding them of the basics again. He might want to be a helicopter parent running in and doing it, but he can't. He's imprisoned. So he's saying, this is what you need to do. So what's been done for you? Well, we've got the gospel message, how that's transformed them, how that's taken them from stuck in sin, not able to move, condemned, but through what Jesus did for us, that they have been transformed. Transformed not by what they've done, not by their own effort, but by transformed by what God did for us through Jesus. What's been done for you? The gospel, Jesus. How have you been transformed? The gospel, Jesus. How is your life different? And here it's presented quite clearly as it's different night and day. It's transformed night and day. that should be a pretty complete and convincing transformation that's happened in your life. So one t-shirt I found says, God formed me, sin deformed me, Jesus transformed me. God formed me, right back in creation. Sin, when we went our own way, thought we knew better than God, made our best efforts, but they weren't good enough. Sin deformed us, deformed me. But the gospel is Jesus transforms me. So this week, with our day and night, light and dark, we are looking at the choices that we have to make. And that's why I called it Choosing to Be an LED. And I'm not just trying to be modern, because I take LED to be a light emitting disciple. A light emitting disciple. So, looking at Ephesians, looking at the tunnels that we've had, we have to realize that we don't always enjoy bringing things into the light. We had a family of four come and stay with us this week, and we were dog sitting as well, so a nice chaotic house. But a nice young family, parents in their 30s, attractive wife. They weren't always perfect children, but they were doing quite well. Representing everything that you want and that people would want in young family life. We went out for a meal, and the young, vibrant, achieving wife bit into her meat and her teeth collapsed at the back. We don't always enjoy bringing things into the light, like going to the dentist. Because what happens when we go to the dentist? He shines light into the dark places.
And then he just applies out.
Yes, he might, depending on what he finds in those dark places, not just get pliers out, but get drills out and cause us some pain as he deals with the difficult things that are in our life. Does he do it because he wants to bring pain into your life?
Yes.
Some people might need to change their dentist, but hopefully your dentist, even if he smiles a little bit at your pain, doesn't do it because he enjoys your pain. He does it because he wants to deal with a problem before it becomes more pain to you, or even death to you. So he shines a light into the places that might need attention. And when those places are in the light, he can see what needs doing with those places. Okay. So if I got Julie to come around now with a flash on her camera and to shine a light into your mouths and take pictures, some of you will probably say no. Because we don't always like the attention of that light coming into our lives. But verse 15 in what we read, if you look carefully, it says about how we are to walk, not as unwise, but as wise. It says we are, verse 16, making the best use of our time. What does it mean to be not unwise, but wise? It means that we need to choose to make the best use of our time. And verse 17 says, as we do that, we can understand what the will of the Lord is for our lives. So we're looking at what living in the light means to us. We've been taken out of the dark place. We've been brought into a place of light that's brought us hope. Everything's been transformed. But what does it mean to live in that place, to live in the light? I think you have to ask yourself questions about the life that you want to live. What's important to you in your life going forward? I want to say what's important to you as a Christian in your life going forward, but that suggests that there's a separation. Is your Christian life different to any other life that you live now? You've come into the light. You're not separated from God. The life that you're living now, the one that you have where you have a relationship with God, everything in your life should be shaped by that relationship. So what's important to you in your life with God? How does God want to use you? How can I ensure that the way that I live in the light doesn't stop God from using me? Okay, if you have got baggage from your sinful past that's not been dealt with, then that baggage, that ongoing sin, those areas of your life that are still a mess, they stop your testimony. They stop you being able to say, look how God transformed me. Look at the way God wants to use me. But if you're still leaving some parts of your life where you don't want his light, where you're not letting him transform you, where you don't have a testimony, then that's going to be stopping God from using you in some situations. So then it starts to get a bit kind of ugh for us. Because a bit like a dentist shining a light into our mouths, if we want to live our lives in the light, what will that mean? I think a lot of things that we keep very private, we have to be willing to be far more open with. The first thing we have to do is to be open to God with those things, because some of you have come to faith in a place where you can say, heaven, I'll have that. Forgiveness from sins, I'll have that. Hope for the future, I'll have that. And then God says he wants your heart. And you'll say, well, you can have a bit of that, because the other half is in some of my hobbies. The other half is in some of my ambitions that I'm not sure you'd agree with. So I'm going to keep those back. Are you ready to make all of those areas open and to give those areas to God and let other people see that you have given the whole of your life, your hopes, as part of your life with God? For instance, your mobile phone. Are you the only one who can see in it? What happens if your partner picks up your phone? Is there a panic? Are there things on there that you don't want them to see? Maybe you've got a good relationship with each other, but you have a battle even with yourself sometimes. And there are areas of temptation where you know you fail sometimes and your phone's evidence of them. So you wouldn't want anybody else to see that. So maybe, to be really radical, you should make sure somebody else can see your phone sometimes. Or when it beeps, that there's no problem with them seeing what the messages were from other people. Little tip I learnt years ago was when you're working on a computer, particularly with a desktop, laptops it gets harder these days, but you set things up so that when anybody walks into the room, the first thing they can see is your computer screen. So whatever you were doing on the computer, you don't have time to shut down or to hide. Anybody walking into the room knows what you were doing on the computer as soon as they come into the room. I think that's part of living in the light. You're open about what you're doing. And that protects you sometimes from temptations to go and do things that you think you're doing in the dark and hidden where nobody can see. But you're ready for anybody to see things anytime. So that might include your browser history. I learned a long time ago in church work in Japan that a lot of the people we were working with were women. So I would get all kinds of emails. So I thought, how do I protect myself in that situation? Most of the emails, by the way, were very boring and routine. But it's how do you deal with one that might be a bit astray or gradually going in a certain direction. So I had a system way back where all my emails were automatically copied to Julie. So nobody could email me in secret. And I also would mention that sometimes so that people knew that anything that I saw, potentially, if she wasn't bored with it most of the time, but Julie had access to any communication that people had with me. How about your diary? How you use your time? Those goals that you set for your year? Are you prepared to write those down and to let somebody else see what your priorities are in your life? That's part of living in the light. Do you announce what your goals are, what your ambition is for the year? Because when you do, it tells us something about you. If your goal is just that Ferrari, then we'll see that that's all you spend your life working to in that year. Or are you willing to name the goals that you have that show how God is part of your life? How do you spend your money? That's always a way of finding out what someone's real priorities are. An uncomfortable one. Coming back from Japan, we didn't have a lot. We've gradually been trying to catch up with lots of things in our life back here in the UK. And sometimes we've not had enough money coming in to cover what was going out. So we knew at the beginning of this year that that should improve. And what we found was that we were making 101 plans on different ways that Julie and I would spend our money. And when we actually got that little bit of extra money, we suddenly realized that we'd spent it 101 times already on different things. And so I was about to change my car until we actually wrote down for each other to see where our money's going. And I had to say no to the car dealer that I was in the process of negotiating with. If somebody looked at how you spent your money, would that be part of your testimony? If the dentist shined his light in your accounts instead of your mouth, would he find something that needs to be dealt with? Or would he be able to say, nope, checkup's fine, see you again in 3 months, 6 months' time? It's quite interesting that we live in a world where potentially Google knows more about you than your friends or your wife or your husband. Because in one sense, we stress privacy and none of your business. But in another sense, we make lots of information about us very public to a lot of people, or at least to a lot of advertisers. So, if you're going to live in the light, I encourage you to be people who openly show what your priorities are, what the way you use your time is, what the way you use your money is, what the ways are that you deal with your weaknesses. Because we have a gospel that's taken us from darkness into light. Not because we are great self-disciplined people, but because of what God has done for us. We have a gospel that's taken us from sin to freedom. Not because we went through a door and suddenly we have a wonderful life, but because of the price that Jesus paid at Easter that dealt with sin that was entangling us, like any temptation that just kept pulling us away, sometimes subtly, sometimes very visibly, but the sin was locking us down. And the gospel says, you can be free of that if you let God shine his light into those areas and say, yes, you found that other problem area and I'm willing for you to deal with me in that area. Are you scared of the dentist? Don't be scared of the light of Jesus in you and through you. Verse 15 that I mentioned talks about challenging us how we use our time. And it's if you go into business management books, it's a whole topic in its own right, with a whole science to it. And Christians are even quite prominent in it because they talk about redeeming the time. But it's quite a good theme, because you have been saved with a purpose and a hope. Not just a hope of heaven, but a hope of Jesus coming again, and that you will see this world transformed. That you'll go from a world that's hopelessly stuck with individuals who are lost, that's hopelessly stuck with wars and with famine. It's going to be transformed. But how are you using your time between now and that happening? Are you going to be ready to be part of it? You need to decide what the key values are in your life going forward. If you've said, yes, Lord, I want you to be my Lord, that means you've given everything and you want your life to show Jesus in every area. So that like Moses, having spent time with God, you will shine his glory to other people. That's the challenge of going from night to day. Not living in darkness, but living in light. It's not just comfortable, because sometimes we hesitate to move. But it's the one place you want to be to see the problems dealt with. But it involves you making a choice that you don't want to cower in the dark. You want to live in the light. We do that as somebody who's just coming to faith. And we do that as people who have walked with God for a long time. So our last video is just going to challenge you on that.
When someone decides to follow Christ, their life is changed forever. Death turns to life. Despair changes to hope. Dark becomes light. It's a deep, quiet moment that could easily be kept hidden. But a change this profound can't stay a secret for long. It's time for the world to see what God has done. For we were once in darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. Baptism is an act of faith. It's a celebration. A beacon cutting through the fog. A message to the world that a lost cause has been redeemed. That God is here. And he is transforming lives. So embrace this moment. Declare his glory. And let your light shine.
Let's pray. Father, we want to declare your glory. We want to rejoice that each of us can be here as people transformed by you. And we want to say together, we want to say each one of us, that we want to live in your light. Lord, help us to make that decision. Lord, help us to live those lives daily, that we walk with you in the light. And if there are areas where we cower in the darkness and where we have fear, then may your love touch us in those places, and may we see that you want to transform us and deal with the problems to enable us to be light emitting disciples. We ask your help in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen.